Jordan B. Gorfinkel is with us live via telephone. The Magerman Edition Koren Tanakh graphic novel, Esther, is now available. And the Gorf, who's one of the most talented people we know, is one of the people, certainly the writer and producer of this incredible creative team that is responsible for this brand new release. Gorf, a pleasure to welcome you back to JM in the AM.
Boker Tov, how's Uppsala College treating you these days?
Wonder how many people listening even get that reference. Did you hear that comedy segment? I don't know if you were able to hear it through the connection here.
I didn't have to hear it. All I heard was your laughing afterwards, and that was enough to make me realize that it was a great comedy segment.
Well, I appreciate that, but did you hear it or not?
No, I did not.
Oh, you didn't hear it? Okay. It was one of the best ones you could imagine. I'm in the mood. I'm in the month of Adar mood, Gorf. What can I tell you? It's one of the reasons I loved looking at your Koren Tanakh graphic novel. It's getting me in the mood for 1 week from today. You know, 1 week from today, we're going to be celebrating Purim, Gorf. Could you imagine?
1 week is a very long time in Adar time.
Yeah, that's true. There's a lot going on. What are you? You're traveling like crazy now with promoting this brand new offering, right?
Yeah. When I was doing the original Passover Haggadah graphic novel, I used to joke that I'm the only person who was celebrating Pesach all year round, because right. During the 3 years of preparation on that project, I was living and breathing Pesach. I used to take Haggadot to Shul in the middle of August. And people were looking at me like, really? You didn't have enough matzah back then?
And I remember the last time we spoke, I told you about what I said that time to Rabbi Weinrib when he finished writing the Kiddush. I said to him, boy, it must have been really rough having to read Kiddush and study Kiddush 12 months in a year. at least you had to celebrate Purim for that entire time, thank God.
That's true. I can't complain. It's going to be even better next year, because next year is a Shana Mu'baret, so we have an extra month.
That's right. Very early Hanukkah coming up, folks. I actually looked at the December calendar. Very early Hanukkah in December. And as Gorf just mentioned, the period of time between the beginning of Adar and Purim is going to be quite a stretch, as we have 2 months of Adar next year. I had a funny story, by the way, with your Haggadah, because I was at the Sfarim sale with my son a few Saturday nights ago, and a gentleman walks up to me and he says, oh, you know, I'm originally from Montreal, and I got to New York 25 years ago, and I was playing with the radio dial looking for a specific show, and I ended up at 91.1, you know, one of the, thank God, many stories out there of people who discovered JM and AM, and he became a fan, and he started buying Jewish music, et cetera, et cetera. And he's holding the book that Rabbi David Bashefkin did. I don't know if you ever saw his book on like top 10 lists of different things. And I said I'm
familiar with Rabbi Bashevkin, but not that book specifically.
So he has a book about, you know, top 10 or top 5, I think it was, that he wrote from a list that he wrote for Mishpacha magazine. Very tongue-in-cheek, humorous list that he wrote every other week for Mishpacha magazine. Anyway, it was in book form. So I say to the gentleman, I said, funny enough, you're holding that book, and I'm in that book. You know, because Rabbi Bashevkin references me at a wedding in that book. Okay, fine. Small talk. About 5 minutes later, I see the same gentleman on the other side of his farm sale, and he's holding your Haggadah. And I said, you're not going to believe this. I'm in that book as well. It was just hilarious, I'll tell you. So then this incredible Koren Tanakh graphic novel, Esther, comes out. And I'm saying to myself, is it the same format as what you did with the Haggadah? And I'm very curious what your answer to that question is. I can tell you as a reader, it has a different feel to it. This has more of a continuous story being told in cartoon and fun form, as opposed to some of the, I don't want to say tongue-in-cheek, but I don't know, the Haggadah had a different approach. Am I right or wrong?
Well, you're right. Well, you're always right. You're never wrong.
Thanks.
The format is the same in that our modus operandi, our operating principle on the Jewish graphic novels, is to have the unabridged text, the complete Hebrew, and then a modern translation that is embedded into the sequential storytelling, the comics, the graphic novel pages, which are facing the Hebrew text.
Right.
That has not changed.
Right.
The approach to how we then do the graphic novel pages has to be specific to the material. And the Megillah is an outlier when it comes to books of Tanakh, right, because it is really a palace intrigue. It's Shakespearean. Right. It's a Greek tragedy. Right. It's humorous. It's dark.
And to be fair, it is told in story form. In other words, there is a beginning, middle, and end to the story. The Haggadah is not really a story. There are parts of it that operate as a story, but it's a different type of format.
Yes, very, very true. That people think that when you look at when you read the Haggadah, that you are reading essentially the Exodus story.
Right.
And that's not it at all. That's one part of it.
Right, correct.
But it's really a Wikipedia page, or going back a little further, a Cliff Notes book of all of Judaism. It encapsulates right. everything you could possibly want.
That's why there's a creative direction you were able to take with the Haggadah. You know, the Behold Over Ador, which I just alluded to earlier, you know, where you had so many people from different generations in the picture, and obviously the Makot, you know, which lends itself, and the songs at the end lend themselves different things. There you had more of a license to be creative, because you're not telling a straight story in cartoon or comic form. You're really, as you just said, you know, you're talking about something that affects, and that you know, so many different generations are referenced, you know, in that story, in that narrative of the Haggadah.
Yeah, you raise an interesting point here, which is with the Haggadah, the challenge was enforcing a narrative on disparate material.
Right.
With the Megillah, the challenge is taking a story that everybody is intimately familiar with and bringing it to life in a new, vivid way. And the graphic novel enables you to do that, because for the very first time, you're putting the words literally back into the mouths of the people who spoke them. You see the people in their context, in their places, and they are saying the dialogue. And there are plenty of illuminated Megillot out there, and picture books and everything. And people ask me, what's the difference? And the difference is very simple. As I said before, when you have a picture book, you have the words and pictures side by side. When you have a graphic novel, you have the words and pictures together, inextricably linked. And that adds a whole new dimension. It's the closest thing to being a video in book form.
Which is why when you look at this brand new current Tanakh graphic novel, Esther, it can be used as a Megillah. You literally can follow along with the reading of the Megillah by looking, you know, page after page of this book. You could use it as a storybook, right? A 10, 12, 15-year-old can sit there and read it in comic book form, so to speak. And I would argue, and maybe add rather, that you could use it as a storybook, you know, for the 3-year-old or 4-year-old who wants to know the story of Purim, reading along with all the different narratives that you have in each one of these box, you know, cartoon boxes, is a great way to tell the story of Purim.
Yes, you're right. And that was our intention. Indeed, it is the intention with any of the Jewish graphic novels, particularly the Koren series. And the idea is that each time you revisit it, you gain new insights, because the book is filled with depths.
Right.
And we have – I liken it to a good Bugs Bunny cartoon, or a good Simpsons cartoon, or Family Guy.
Well, Havdol, of course.
Of course. But Purim Torah. It's okay.
There you go.
Yeah.
But it's so true, by the way, what you're saying. Every time you read the Haggadah, I mean, I know we say this about everything having to do with Torah and our tradition. I get that. But every time you read the Megillah, you just learn more and more and more, and you get more and more different insights into, you know, what the story is all about.
Yeah, and I want to go back to something you alluded to right now. We were joking around. We were talking about, God forbid, secular media influencing Judaism. And what we're doing here, and I go, you said in the beginning of our discussion right now this morning that I'm traveling around. I am indeed on book tour and going to a number of different cities over the next few weeks, culminating with Pesach. And the goal that I have is to be able to show how we can bring things full circle, that Jewish people were intimately responsible for creating a lot of the popular entertainment
yep.
that people enjoy, and how wonderful it is to be able to now take that and bring it full circle to now engage people back in their Yiddishkeit again.
Yeah. And we need more of that, frankly, in Hollywood and in your industry, etc. But I agree with you wholeheartedly. A lot of people in our community have had a role in creating some really interesting and creative industries, and now we should try to use those industries to spread the word about how incredible our tradition and heritage is.
That's right. Like radio, for example, I remember when you began, you were doing all this inappropriate humor. It was just, you know, a boucha. And now look at you.
Jordan B. Gorfinkel is with us live via telephone as we talk about the brand new Koren Tanakh graphic novel, Esther. Easiest way for people to order the book, Gorf, what would you say?
The Koren website is wonderful. And that's probably the best way to not only get it, but get it in time for Purim. And I've been telling people, if for any reason you have challenges or difficulties in getting it in time for Purim, feel free to reach out to me. I'll put you in touch with the right people. You can email me at jewishcartoon@gmail.com. And you can find me on the socials, Instagram in particular, and Facebook, at Jewish Cartoon. Everything I do is at Jewish Cartoon. That is everything I do in graphic novels. Music is a whole nother thing.
By the way, someone contacted me recently about their child that wanted to get into your industry. I don't think you mind mentoring or giving advice to those who are, you know, a little bit off the beaten path, so to speak, when it comes to, you know, people in our community who want to explore, you know, cartoon, comics, that whole genre. Am I right about that?
Yes, you're absolutely right. And in fact, one of the things that I've been thinking about is creating an incubator or a yeshiva of visual learning, as it were, for students and adults, for anybody really, who engage in Jewish learning and any kind of learning in a way that is not the typical learning by rote. Memorization and then taking a test, just as the simplest example of that. Right. When I the example that I give, the simple example that I give is that when I am learning to lane, which is to say to do Kriyat HaTorah, to learn the trup, to learn the cantillation, for those listeners who are not familiar, many of us are, but just in case, when you read from a Torah scroll, you're not seeing all of the vowels and all of the musical notes. What you're seeing is one big schlump of text of
egg.
Words of letters,
a lot of egg.
that just flows through unendingly, seemingly unceasingly. And what you have to do is you have to study from a book ahead of time called the Tikkun, which enables you to study it with the vowels and the trop, the cantillation, so that you could quote unquote memorize it. Now, when some people memorize it, people like me who are visual, who see things in terms of pictures, not necessarily words, I'm memorizing the relative position of everything. I'm memorizing the look, the visual look of the scroll in front of me. So sometimes when you get to the actual Torah scroll, the original scribe did not put the letters in the same order, the words in the same order as the practice book.
Right. Well, I would say it differently. They used a different format. They did put it in the same order, just a different format.
Yes, correct. Right. Correct. The way that it appears in columns will be different than the way that I particularly studied it. So, for example, I'm used to seeing the beginning of the Aliyah at the bottom of the page, and it appears at the top of the next column.
Correct. Right.
And I'm totally thrown. And the point of all this is that there are people like me who think visually like this, and for them, we are still a small people with limited educational capabilities, and we do the best we can, but there isn't much in the way of, with some notable exceptions, of schooling that enables this kind of thinking. And what I would like to be able to do for those like me and for those out there is to be able to provide them with a means of furthering their kind of thinking, because as you can see, we're bringing something very important to the Jewish world, and they can help too.
Yeah, no question about it. It all comes to life because of the work that you do. All right, we know that Yael Nathan is responsible for the illustrations. You know, that's her area of expertise and what she brings to your incredible team. So nonetheless, I'm going to ask you some of the questions that have to do with the pictures, because I would imagine that you had some input when it came to what so many of these scenes would look like. Do you have the Megillah in front of you or not?
I don't have it in front of me, but believe me, I have it in my head.
Yeah, I can only imagine. All right, so you go to page 14 and 15. You have to somehow portray what the party was like, what the party of, and the, not just the party, but the average day in the palace of Ahasuerus was like. What detail, and you are very detailed in terms of the colors I see that the Megillah refers to, and the types of materials that the Megillah refers to, in terms of how the palace was dressed up. I mean, are you just looking to, you know, illustrate this? And is your illustrator looking to illustrate this simply as accurately as possible? What goes into creating a cartoon picture, so to speak, of a scene like that?
The process, the answer to your question is twofold. One is, what is the process of directing the artwork? And the second question is, what kind of reference do you need in order to make the artwork authentic?
Right.
The answer to the first question is that it all begins with a writer, in this case me, sitting down with the material and needing to decide how to visualize it. And I did this exercise. I was at the Ror Chabad Center in Georgia Tech over mm-hmm. this past weekend. And for Shabbat morning, we sat down, afternoon really, we sat down to lunch on Shabbat, and I gave out a handout with two of the psukim, two of the passages, and what I challenged everybody to do is to visualize it. And everybody, all the students, began to realize very quickly that you can't gloss over even a syllable when it comes to creating a graphic novel version of this.
Right.
Every single word needs to be interpreted in its fullest capacity. Right. So you need to think, what did it look like? What were the textiles? What was the setting? What was the weather? What are people wearing? What are their skin colors? What's their hair color? What's their body type?
The columns, the colors.
Everything. It's a tabla rasa. It's a blank slate to begin with. And one must begin to think about every single possible detail. So when you are a writer in graphic novels, you are a combination of writer, producer, director, set designer, actor. You have to fulfill all these roles, and you have to do it in your head until you write it down and then hand it off to the artist. And right. In this case, I was extraordinarily blessed to have Yael Natan, an accomplished, one of the very few comic book illustrators and one of the most accomplished in Israel. Israel is a very small country, and the comic book industry, the graphic novel industry, is even smaller, as you can imagine. And she would take the script, which contains a shot description, a description of what to draw, and the dialogue, and bring it to life, first in a layout, where we figure out in rough sketch form all of the different components that need to go into the eventual drawing, and then in pencil, and then in ink, and then it's colored, we add lettering, and then you have post-production where editors, including the amazing team at Koren, who have access at their fingertips to all of the best scholarship you could ever possibly want reviewing this. And bingo, there you go. You have the first graphic novel page amongst many. And then there's the second question, which is, so how do you get the research? And the answer is, we work with the experts at Koren, not only on the pshat, the specific textual meaning, but also on the perushim, the interpretations, and through the ages. You're starting with the Rishonim, and you go all the way to the Akronim and Rabbi Sachs and everybody else.
Did you get called out for anything? Did you get called out that you misrepresented something, you know, in a cartoon or in a comic form that had to be changed?
Yeah, that happens all the time. But
really?
I wouldn't say it's called out. Rather, we're Jews, right? So you have one pasuk and 50 opinions.
No, I hear that, right. But
it's more you have decision making because
right.
you can't do everything.
But they're encouraging you to change something because it was done with a minority opinion in mind, or it was done with what? Like, why are they encouraging you to change something?
Candidly, they are so fantastic to work with because they give me way more freedom than they should. Don't tell them I said that.
So are they ever saying to you, change this?
Yes, because I am pushing for it. I want authenticity. Mm-hmm. I know that there are armchair scholars out there by the gazillions, and I want to make sure that when somebody looks at this, the response is, oh, you made a choice based on the source rather than you were ignorant of the reality, and therefore you made a mistake.
Right, understood. Gorf is with us, Jordan B. Gorfinkel. If you haven't gotten it yet, get it. It's for all ages, literally, for all ages. I described earlier the Koren Tanakh graphic novel, Megillat Esther. It's simply called Esther. Jordan B. Gorfinkel is with us. Finally, I got to ask you the most obvious question, always the most fun question, and that is how the images got to the point that they got to. What do I mean? I mean, if you look carefully, one would be very curious, just like the four sons in your Haggadah, one would be very curious how you portrayed, for instance, Ahasuerus and Haman. After all, they're two of our favorites to dress up as on Purim, right? So some might argue that your Haman does not look mean enough, Gorf, and some might argue that Ahasuerus looks even more dastardly than Haman. How do you respond to that?
Who would argue?
I might.
The answer, once again, we have two aspects to your question. The first one is, I based it on the Gemara that says that Ahasuerus was like a lion and Haman was like a bear. And if you look at the characters, they have that kind of feel to it.
Interesting.
And the second, this is insider baseball over here. By the way, for those of you who don't know, baseball is an old game that you play with a stick and a ball.
Yeah, with a pitch clock. Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, now we're getting into it. You're just starting now? Okay. The second part is that evil is banal, and it's very easy to draw the antagonists as mustache twirling characters.
Correct.
And most of the time, indeed, you see them with mustaches and beards.
Correct.
I felt that when, and this is just my take, there are certainly many legitimate takes, but for this book, I was responsible. So there you go. I felt that if you're going to do a story that has such a serious undertone, because when you get down to it, this is a story of somebody who wanted to perpetrate genocide on the Jewish people. That is a very serious issue. And we dress it up with a lot of fun. We
right.
dance on their graves.
Right.
We have parties and we yell Haman. When they say Haman, we make noises and shake the grogger and make fun. And indeed, you'll see that we flagged that in two ways in this graphic novel, a bit of a digression. And I challenge the readers, number one, actually two things. There are two ways that we highlight when Haman's name is said in the text. And readers, I'd like you to find what those two ways are. Anyway, so when you
one is obvious. I'm trying to think what the second one is.
There are two ways. One is textual and one is illustrative. And I felt that we need to sober up at a certain point in the story
right.
and recognize the ramifications of what would have happened, God forbid, a million times over if Haman had succeeded.
Right. And
because I think that,
and a very important message for today, of course.
Yeah, exactly what I was getting to. That's right. Because one of the reasons that we're taking this modern media of graphic novels and using it to bring Torah back to the masses is because it's with Marvel movies and the popularity of superheroes out there, it's obvious that this is the way that our next generation and for that matter, every generation is engaging with the world. So if we're going to use this in order to then bring it back, as we said before, and engage with Yiddishkeit, then I think we still need to use it in order to make the central point that the text is trying to make.
Phenomenal.
And I'm trying to do – the reason I'm kind of slowing down and stuttering a little bit is because I'm trying to do this without spoilers.
No, I got that. So Esther is portrayed as a pretty simple, dignified Jewish young woman. Is that how the Gemara tells us she was?
Well, the getting out of the Gemara and back into the simple text for a second, it says that she carried herself with incredible grace,
right.
that she was the most beautiful woman in the room, but she was the most beautiful woman in the room not only because of her exterior, but because of her interior also.
Right.
And there are Mefarshim that say that, in fact, she wasn't so physically attractive. But it was because of the way that she interacted with people that you meet her and she immediately warms you up and lights up the room. How do you draw a person like that? And the bigger challenge was Ahasuerus has a beauty contest.
Right.
He has the most incredibly
right. You have to assume all the starlets were there, right?
Yeah, very well put. How do you then make Esther stand out?
Right.
And you'll have to pick up the book and find out how we addressed it.
And finally, I mean, just, you know, don't think I didn't notice, but Mordechai, boy, does he age pretty quickly in your book.
Well, Mordechai is an interesting challenge because figuring out his chronology is a little challenging. Right. We know that he was part of the exodus of Yechoniah Melech Yehuda, the king of the Judah kingdom of Israel, a few years before the mass deportation.
Right.
And we also know that he is the uncle to Esther, and he's therefore older. And we know that many years have passed since the Jews have been in Paras and Madai, the kingdom of, or the empire of Persia. So how old is this guy?
Right.
120 years old? He can't be 120. He's still a vibrant guy. So
well, early on, you portray him in his 30s, and then it looks like he's, you know, becoming an 80-year-old pretty quickly.
Well, that's because a lot of time has passed.
Right.
For example, I'm not going to give this away, but folks, look up. How long does this story take place? Between the time that Esther is anointed queen and the time that she finally confronts Haman, how much time has passed? Is it days, months, years? These are questions that we had to answer and work out, and we had to reconcile it with history. And I won't get into it. We don't have time. But even you asked before, and we never really got into it. So the Megillah lists all the various different aspects, the physical attributes of the party, the couches they sat on,
right.
Gold and silver.
All the decorations.
Right. Even the flooring,
right.
the onyx textiles or tiles, all this sort of stuff. And how do we know exactly what that looks like? Well, we have to use partly the source text. We have to use partly our imagination, but we can also use historical evidence. We have archaeology. We know, for example, that the palace of Shushan, of Susa, as they call it in English or whatever language that's from, we know that that no longer exists, but we do have the ruins of Persepolis, and Persepolis was based on the palace at Shushan. It followed it. So we can look at what survived there and extrapolate what the palace of Shushan might have looked like, and therefore, when we draw it in the Megillat Esther, in the Koren Megillat Esther graphic novel, we have a reasonable amount of authenticity.
Amazing. Look, it's an incredible effort. I can only imagine how long this project took, but it's really fantastic. And I'm highly recommending, everybody, very highly recommending the Magerman Edition Koren Tanakh graphic novel, Esther. Jordan B. Gorfinkel, he leads the team. Yael Nathan, as you heard, the illustrator, and everyone together does a brilliant job. And a lot of work and a lot of people went into this project. I'm highly recommending it. Go to JewishCartoon.com. Go to JewishCartoon.com. Go to KorenPub.com, KorenPub.com, for information and to order the book and to add this to your library for this coming Purim. And again, whether you're using it to follow the Megillah, using it for a three-year-old to tell them the story of Purim, using it as a gift for a teenager because they'll love going through this and looking at the illustrations as they read the story of the Megillah. Whatever purpose you're purchasing it for, trust me, you'll be happy you've gotten it. It really is for all ages for all the reasons I just mentioned, and we're highly recommending it. Gorf, I wish you a mazal tov and continued hatzlacha. And what can I say? You've heard my enthusiasm. I'm so thrilled that this project came out the way it did. Congratulations, sir.
Thank you very much. And on a personal note, listeners, Nachum and I go back a lot of years here. Not so many that we're going to put a number to it, but a lot of years. And Nachum, I got to tell you, I speak to a lot of people these days, Baruch Hashem, but it's like coming home. I
Thank
mean,
you.
The I referred before about, you know, carrying with grace. And you may not look anything like Esther. In fact, you have a slight resemblance to Ahasuerus.
My mother was named after Queen Esther. She was
Baruch Hashem,
she was
amazing.
She was born in the 12th of Adar, and they named her after Queen Esther.
Oh, that's funny, because the Chabad family that I was staying with, their daughter Esther was the only one that was not home this weekend, so there was a real irony there. But my point is that you two
maybe she was in Persia.
Yeah, right. Well, it was a feast, so there was that. Apropos, but I was going to say you carry yourself with grace, and you do such marvelous things for the Jewish people. And you're a dear friend. It's such a pleasure to be here. And the only other thing I can say is, as we head from Purim to Pesach and we transition, let me just mention quickly that I am also still into Jewish music. We didn't discuss that at all, but I am the co-director with Eitan Rubin and our president David Abramowitz of the Y Studs and Kol Zimra. And we are coming out with a Pesach music video, God willing, this year. So keep an eye out for that. And if you're looking for a cappella for your simcha or a fantastic concert experience, ystuds.com, kolzimra.com.
Phenomenal. Thank you, Gorf. Send us that audio for the Pesach one as soon as you can. And we look forward to it. And again, congratulations on the brand new Esther Koren Tanakh graphic novel.
Thank you, and look for more, because Koren and I are going to be embarking on many, many more projects together. This is only the beginning.
Oh, what could he be doing next? I got to think about this. Thanks so much, Gorf. More coming up. That was Jordan B. Gorfinkel, folks. Great interview. A wonderful, wonderful brand new publication. Check it out, jewishcartoon.com, korenpub.com, and you're listening to JM in the AM.